This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Okay, good morning. Just wanted to, you know, take some time here and really just welcome in a good friend of mine, a former coach of mine. Got a chance to play for him when I was in my formative teenage years as a player, and got some really good perspective on the game from one of the pioneers. I think he's one of the three pioneers that, you know, led this whole travel ball, steered this ship in the direction it's going now. But obviously there's been evolution in the process, but I'd like to introduce Rob Bruno, owner, founder of NorCal Baseball, been around since, am I wrong, 1991?
Joe, this is our 35th year. Oh, Tony Crivello joined me in 95, and you know, he's a guy that kind of steers this ship, and I kind of keep the engine going. And it's a great partnership. He's a brilliant guy. I've been lucky to have him. And talking about pioneers, your dad's the West Coast pioneer. You know, Mike was an amazing guy. Gary Baldwin from East Cobb, amazing guy, all in it for the right reasons, why we all started this stuff. And for you to put me in with those guys, that's pretty special, because for me, they're part of the Mount Rushmore with youth baseball.
Right. And I think, you know, being a part of, you know, what that looked like back in the early 90s, right, and building the type of programs you guys did, I think that with those right intentions, I think that there's a clear difference between how things are going on now amongst, you know, travel ball and the programs that are in operation. And, you know, fortunately, there's still programs like yours, programs like Gary's, that are still, I believe, leading the charge in the right way. But I want to talk about that a little bit and just get your take on
Right.
how things have evolved since, you know, 1990, and what the takeaways, I think, for, you know, if we have players or prospects or parents listening into this, what are the things they should be taking home that are important? So, because obviously there's a lot of noise out there, a lot of BS out there that they're listening to, yes, watching, and social media is creating a storm of nonsense that they're all absorbing. So, you know, just kind of want to get your take on it, because I know you have opinions on this. I've talked to you about this over the years, and You know, again, playing for you, playing for, I got to play for Tony as well, right? So I got
absolutely
a good, I got to get a good firm understanding on what this game's really about as a kid. And would love to hear what you have to say about, why those things are still important now.
Joe, here's what I remember most about you when you were playing. You fly in, you have a state game at home. You fly into McAlester, Oklahoma between your junior and senior year. You get there a little bit late. We put you in the game. You hit an absolute bomb for a home run. The next at bat, you put down one of the sweetest drag bunts you're ever going to see. Tells me everything I needed to know about Joe Spears. He will beat you every way to Sunday. I loved it. That was one of the greatest things. I'll never forget it, Joe. I'll never forget it.
Well, I love that you.
Yeah, we talked about the first.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the there's somebody out there. I'm good. No, I'm at the hotel. This is a Residence Inn. Been here for years. They were going to clean my room, but yeah, they do a great job for us. And one of the things that you like when you're on the road is comfort. They always take care of us. You know, we try and find the same places, get the same routine. You know where the Trader Joe's is. You know where all the good places are and that kind of thing. One of the things I'll say is we mentioned travel ball. The word travel, for me, travel ball is a kind of a negative connotation. When I think of travel ball, I think of especially below the high school level, Little League on wheels. And it's something we just don't need. It's something that's just – I think we're making mistakes, especially at the younger level. I talked to a parent the other day, and this eighth grade level is a slippery slope. It's kind of, you're getting into high school. You're still doing the quote unquote travel ball stuff. I had a guy say, well, you know, we're really busy. They wanted to play and try out for us. I don't know what weekend we can get out there. You know, he's guesting for this, and this guest stuff is crap. You know, find a great team. Stay with them, learn about being a great teammate. Don't be jumping around. And that's a challenge with these younger groups, this guest stuff. Anyway, this guy's going to be on the road with his kid 6 or 8 weekends in the fall. They're in eighth grade. They live in Northern California. They're going to go to Southern California at least twice, Arizona, Houston, Texas, and some other places. And I'm thinking to myself, who cares? Who's going to remember any of this stuff? Certainly when it really counts down the line, nobody cares. And this is a challenge. Not everybody has a pocketbook for that kind of thing also. The one thing I remember about your dad, he loved practice more than he loved games. He loved to teach. He always thought of himself as a teacher more than a coach per se. A trainer is what he would say. And I love that because we're getting away from that. We don't have real practices. I talked to Cy Simonton this morning. Cy headed up our 26s, and he was on my first team back in 91, 92. So we go way back, and that's the beautiful thing, Joe. We've had 25-plus second-generation guys, either sons or nephews. That's special. But we're talking about how we have to, in our area, have to have some things where we have some clinics, but also some leagues and also some coaching things where we can coach the coaches. And I think that's going to be a big thing down the line. We need to teach these guys, hey, what's really important? We're getting away from what's important. The whole travel thing, going out for an $8 trophy, it's not it.
Right. No, and I agree. I mean, and I don't know if it's the same where you guys are. You guys are you still in – are you in Danville, Concord? Were you?
Yeah, Pleasanton.
Pleasanton, yeah. There you go.
Right by Danville.
I don't know if it's the same where you're at, but I mean, right here in, you know, we're in Southern California between Inland Empire, LA County, Orange County, right? There's, you know, anywhere between 15, 20 new clubs per age division popping up every single year. And everybody's preaching, hey, we can get you to the next level. You got to do X, Y, and Z. That process for every organization or team is pretty, I like to call them disorganizations. I shouldn't call them an organization anymore, but
yeah.
the, Yeah, but these, you know, teams per se, right? They pop up. They claim to provide a roadmap for whatever that next level looks like. I have a hard time trying to understand how anybody could really provide you a roadmap if they haven't really been successful in getting anybody there or been there themselves, right? But there's a lot of that, right? And I even see it.
There's a lot of sales, right? A lot of selling. And my thought is, why would you reinvent the wheel? Now, I would tell you, we're reinventing each and every year a little bit. I know that you've been around, you've done this for a long time. I think it's changed more in the last 3 years than it's changed in the first 30 for me. It's a little bit crazy. It used to be about 95% of our guys on our first group would be Division I scholarships. Second group, probably more like 70%. But it's changed that much. And you've got to have experience in this stuff. You have to have relationships. You have to have an eye for these kids. You can't lie to them. The worst thing you can do is lie to them. They're saying, well, we can do this, we can do that. With the new rules, especially not being able to allegedly, we'll say, talk till halfway through the summer. What is it, August 1? It only makes sense to, before that, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, heading halfway through the summer, we call it bigger, better, faster, stronger class. That's what you need to work on.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Who cares who's watching you as a freshman? Because it's not going to happen. With all the changes, with the portal stuff, with going from 40 to 34, there's very few kids, very few, going to Division I on scholarships these days. We had a pretty outstanding class in our 26, is about 75%. That's an aberration. That doesn't normally happen for most groups. They need to find, in our opinion, the place where they're going to get development. They're going to nurture these guys and find, Joe, I really believe, the best place you can make a 40-year decision. We talk about a 40-year decision, and that's where's the program with the school that will allow these guys to have a beautiful life after that, you know, get married, find a great job, whatever. How many guys really play pro ball? There are, but it's rougher and rougher. So find a great fit instead of going to the best school.
It's much different. Yeah, it's much different than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, where you could look at the teams that you've had and you're like, hey, like 6 or 7 of these guys are going to play pro ball, right? And now it's you know, it's like even with our groups, and I'm sure it's similar with your. Actually, we were on the field next to you guys on Sunday, and I was going to go over there and say hi to you, but you guys looked like they didn't want to distract you from coaching. But yeah, like just the team.
Everybody says that. I couldn't care less. You come over, we say hi.
Yeah, but I mean, the teams that you have on the field, even this last weekend at the Senior Fall Classic, it's like, okay, these guys, a lot of these guys are gunning for like smaller programs, right?
Yes.
Very different than it was 10 years ago, very different than it was even just 2 or 3 years ago. And we look on the field, and I'm looking at our team, and, you know, there's obviously talent out there, you know, for the grad class. And it's like, shoot, man, like this kid, like, you know, I'm thinking about one or two kids in particular, like these kids, you know, pre-COVID, slam dunk D1 guy, like easily plugged in. And now it's like they're, you know, there's a little bit, you could feel a little bit of panic on their part. Like, well, how come nobody's calling? Nobody's emailing, nothing like that. Well, a lot of patience goes into it now. It's a very, you know, now it's now that now it actually takes, it's, it was a lot easier to get a D1 guy to a D1 school last year or 5 or 6 years ago. Now it's like, okay, if he's a D1 guy, he's got to go through a different channel. He's got to go to junior college. He's got to go to D2 program and put up numbers, continue development, be patient with that process. And it's difficult. I shouldn't say difficult. It's challenging, I should say, to get players, parents probably more so than the players themselves, because I think the players are up to whatever that process looks like if they're good. But the parent, getting them to understand like how that process and that journey really looks, if they, if Division I baseball is really in their future. And if it's not, it's not, you know. But then, like you said, it's a 40-year decision. Like, you got to choose where you're going to go to school based on how it's going to impact your life in the long run. You know, it's very, you know, I was with a former player yesterday, graduated in 2017. Good player, D1 guy, finished his career at UCLA. And he's like, yeah, I got like a communications degree, and, you know, nothing wrong with that. But now he's coaching baseball, which is good, you know. But I mean, there, I don't think he,
well, he's able to communicate.
Right. He is able to communicate, but I don't think there was direction in what he was going to do after baseball when he made those decisions. And so I think that's probably the short-sighted way that most players and parents go about their business right now.
I think they don't have that plan B, Joe. I get it. I look at this thing, and there's no straight line path. It's a crooked path. Coach Mack from way back, good buddy of ours, he would also say the path is the path. We don't control it. We can help guide, but the reality is we don't know what's going to happen. Maybe JC, maybe Division II or III, like you said. You know, I've got a good friend that has a great Division II program. And we like to send our guys that are Division I talent that are getting overlooked there. And there's a couple of great JCs that we love. And what they're saying now is, hey, use us as a stepping stone, even the Division II. And I thought to myself before, that is horrible. That's your 4 year. You're there. I mean, that this is a program. They're going to be loyal to you. You be loyal to them. Well, the reality is it's changed. And they're saying, hey, put up some numbers, help us, and we will promote you to a higher division. And that before never happened, but that's how they get better players now.
Right. Yeah. And that's really, I've seen some, my own experiences last few years. So I now help at Citrus College. I don't know if you knew that. I was at Chaffee the last 4 years, which is a junior college in Rancho Cucamonga down here.
Yeah.
Our head coach Andy Smith does a tremendous job, I think, developing hitters, developing players. He led the team to 3 conference championships, back to back to back, first time in a long time. He said it actually happened like 30 years ago. Yeah, so hard to do. So we moved over to Citrus. He got the job at Citrus maybe a month ago. We followed him over there. The type of athlete we have now versus what we had 2 years ago is completely different. It's Division I. It's what would have been a typical Division I type of athlete 2 years ago, right? And now it's that those guys are falling back into, you know, and I wasn't there on Friday because I was out in Arizona in the same event that you're in.
Right.
And, you know, playing a good Santa Ana junior college team, and they're just as good. They're just, from what I hear, they're just as athletic. They're just as, they have the guys on the mound that would have been, you know, maybe D1 prospects a couple of years ago. So, and then I look back, then I look at our 13 and 14 year old teams and even our 15 year old teams and what they're trying to accomplish in the game. They can get there, obviously, but yeah, you mentioned something earlier in our conversation regarding, you know, development, getting bigger, faster, stronger, you know, those things, like how important and how much do you prioritize that with your guys when it comes to, you know, advising them on the process?
Good points. Especially in the fall, we we have a lot of Sunday workouts. We try and make sure Monday through Saturday, as a rule, we allow them to do stuff for high school, whatever they're doing there, right? And got a lot of guys playing scout ball with, so we try and accommodate and try and complement and work with all those guys. But when we are at practice, we're usually doing drills. We're usually working on bunny. We're working on base running. We're working on that type of thing. We're throwing any bullpens. We're working on command. Those are things that aren't done as much. We try and give them. Usually they have some people in their area that are good with the conditioning aspect, that type of thing. So those are the things that we try and concentrate on: bigger, better, faster, stronger. We used to go a little bit farther in October. We're about third week in for October. We're shutting down. Even in August, we're kind of shut down. Give these guys a little bit of a break. There's too much going on as far as playing games. We feel like it's a kind of condensed version in the fall where, hey, guys can throw one time on the weekend, 50 pitches, you're done. And then, again, that late October, November, December, bigger, better, faster, stronger. That's the intent. There's no need to go play games. There's a new rule, right, that you probably saw, that October through January, scouts can't see the high school guys, in November through January, halfway through on each. In reality, if you're a pro, your kids doing in December. Playing games. You should not be playing games in December. That's just making money on kids. You should be shut down at that point. And now you could be doing workouts. You could be working on development, working on weight training, working on sprinting, that kind of thing. Getting these guys, great nutritional people, great. There's a time to shut down and work on those other things. You've got to get away mentally and physically.
Yeah, I agree. And for us, it's like, okay, we are pretty year round in what we provide.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We try to implement a ton of practice opportunities, right? A ton of practice. I mean, the idea is, Monday through Thursday, we have something going on where you could participate in from a practice or development standpoint. We're big on the performance side, the athlete performance side. So we, our guys, they can partake in 2 day a week programs for speed and power development. And one thing that, baseball seasonal, football season, like all these sports are, should technically be seasonal. I think that taking care of your body should not be a seasonal thing. That should be something that that you work on. Obviously, when you're in season, there's a maintenance side of it. I get it. You're not going so, you're not super intense about that. But when there's times when you have the time and the window to build strength and to build power and speed and all those things, and if you don't take advantage of that, you're not ready for that recruiting window to open back up, or you're not ready for that competition window to open back up. Baseball is technically seasonal, but when you really look at it in the grand scheme of things, high school baseball begins, late January, early February, right?
Correct.
And then it goes strong through the spring. It goes strong through the summer. And it goes strong, like you said, third week of October for a lot of people. We're attending a few team camps this fall, so we try to, you know, try to offer those extended opportunities for uncommitted guys.
Right.
So for some guys, it goes 10 months. So if your body's not ready, if your body's not ready or you're not maintaining well, you know, especially, and this is where I see it, guys, they'll take the fall, they'll take the winter, focus on their body, get better. Then they hop into the high school season, right? And then completely shut it down in the weight room and focus on competition. Okay. And they'll be good for that.
That's year round. That is year round.
And they'll be good for that stretch of like 2 or 3 months of high school baseball. But then you have an uncommitted junior coming in to the summer and wanting to perform and show well in front of scouts and recruiters and all that stuff. How good is he after, let's say it's an uncommitted arm? How good is he if he put his best stuff, or if he delivered his best stuff on the mound from January to May, and then come June, July, August, when people are out watching, he's not bringing his best self? Like, how, you know, that is, I think that the narrative needs to be, you know, baseball is seasonal, games, you know, can be seasonal, all that stuff. I mean, obviously, you know, specializing early, I don't know if that's a great idea. But one thing that's for certain, for sure, is improving your body, improving the way it performs, nutrition. You touched on that for a split second there. That is something that is a lifelong venture. It's not a seasonal, because right, you fall away from those habits. It's really hard to get yourself back into the swing of things once you get 20, you know, 30, 40 years old, 50 years old. It gets harder as you get older if you fall into those habits of taking care of your body a seasonal thing. So
trust me, I know about that, because I'm old and I was a power lifter for 20 something years. And boy, it's tough sometimes getting out of bed. So yes, you guys have done a great job on training. Your program is outstanding. The biggest difference between high school kids and college kids, and then college kids to professional kids, is physical maturity. It's that strength, that explosion, that muscle. Mm-hmm. If you can't do that, you're not playing as a freshman. Those are 22, 23-year-old grown-ass men. And mm-hmm. you're an 18-year-old, and you're spending maybe 6 months training instead of 12 for getting in the gym, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. And if you don't understand that, you certainly will very quickly once you show up.
I agree. And it's building habits early, right? It's so there's this, I don't think it's a theory anymore. I think there's enough research out there, but there was a theory. Now there's, you know, now it's validated that between the ages of like 12 and 18, as a kid, right? Cause the studies were done on adolescents. That window for natural testosterone development, right, that is taking place within your body, right, you don't get that window back ever again. So if you're not, you know, optimizing the way you train, the way you move, and creating those demands from a physical standpoint, and you wait until college, right? Technically, you wait until college. There's a theory that has been validated several times that because you didn't take advantage of that window early, you'll never punch through that ceiling and reach your potential. If you wait until college to try to, you know, take those things seriously. So really like 12.
I don't think there's no doubt. And there's no reason why you're talking about 12. Get on a TRX bands, eat properly. You know, sometimes now there can be something to where these guys are training 6 days a week. I think that's counter to what you want when you're in high school. I think 4 days a week and work hard. Don't just go through it. Really work hard. Eat like you're a Ferrari, not a Volkswagen. You know, put in great food, put in great nutrition all the way through. And the time that you're going to grow is when you're eating and you're resting. But mm-hmm. you've got to hit the weight room hard. Now you got to get great supervision, but you're right. There's a window there. And the first couple of years you do that are going to be all your gains. There's a little bit of a time where it's like in golf. I mean, you can go from a 20 to a 12 handicap easier than you can go from a 4 to a 2. You're only mm-hmm. going to gain so many pounds. After that, it slows down, but you've got to take advantage of those high school years. Big deal.
Yeah. And that stems from, I think that, you know, parents need to understand this as well, because obviously a kid could go out there, he could soak this in. But if, you know, the way I look at it between like our program and the parents and the kid is, okay, this is a partnership where everybody's got to do their part. Some of that is, you know, a parent holding a kid accountable over, you know, because the kid's going to be a kid, right? He's going to want to go, you know, do kid stuff. And obviously they should all, you know, have the opportunity to be kids.
Yes.
But from a taking care of your body standpoint, baseball aside, right, this is also a lifelong, you know, decision or a lifelong habit that if you create it early, it's easy to keep long term. And it only impacts your career in sports, baseball specifically, in a good way. I've taken time the last 8 years or so to really focus, because even before the pandemic, you're hearing from recruiters, hey, so-and-so needs to get stronger, he needs to get faster. Okay, so, you know, if we have the ability to provide those types of opportunities, we took that, you know, we took those opportunities to actually provide it. And that hasn't changed. Like, you have to get more physical. Like, it's not really negotiable.
Not an option.
Yeah, it's not an option anymore, you know, especially.
It's not an option.
Yeah, especially now. You know, we have guys redshirting now that are going to be redshirting for our program this year that I've known for several years. Like, hey, you got to get after it a little bit harder in the weight room. And they're like, yeah, we will. And then, you know, now they're redshirting. Now they got to try to figure it out. And it's going to be an uphill climb for them to continue their career, even at a junior college, which, you know, unfortunately, you know, that could work out in their favor if the switch flips on. But unfortunately, for a lot of kids, it may not. You know, it could go the other way. So,
you know, I was talking to a guy this morning. We have just two of the programs we were talking about for community colleges. There's 70 guys there, mm-hmm. and there's 21 year olds. There's 70 guys each place. Mm-hmm. It is competitive as heck. And you better be ready to go, or you're going to get lost. You know, we talked about a little bit about, you know, starting a little bit early. It's an interesting thing. 13, 14 year olds. The mm-hmm. biggest thing you can do is just get into great habits for exercise, for eating, everything else. The changes that these kids make. Some kids are fully grown. They're 5'10" with mustaches at 14. Then there's 5'2", 5'3" guys who are going to be late bloomers. And I'll take the late bloomers all day long. But those are the guys that usually have good work habits. They're going to get.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Get passed up unless they work harder, so they develop a great skill set. I remember Jock Peterson was 5'4 in eighth grade, entering his ninth grade year, 5'4. But mm-hmm. he had some tools, and
he's a grower, not a grower.
We're talking about do you want to be first or first last? Well, you want to be first, last. We always talk about these other guys that are like, you know, 5'9 with mustaches, whatever. We call those guys early ripe, early rotten. These guys, he's touching 80. Well, guess what? He's now touching 81 4 years later as a senior. They didn't work hard because they got passed up. And you just don't count anybody out. There's so many circumstances where you have guys that grow late, and those are usually the guys that absolutely are the studs later.
Yeah. I mean, because they have to keep up, right? When they're younger, they learn how to keep up. And then, you know, and then the guys that were more physical when they were younger, they didn't have to work as hard to be, you know, to be one of the good players, you know? Yeah, I get it completely, you know? And I think I was kind of like, I was physical enough when I was, you know, a younger kid, but I didn't understand the game enough and I had to learn. You know, luckily I did have, you know, my dad was in my corner, obviously. So I feel like, you know, one of the best people to learn from pretty much on a daily basis. And, you know, obviously created a huge impact on my career as a player and then eventually a coach. But most kids don't have that, you know. And so to say I was fortunate from that regard, to say the least, yeah, I'm super fortunate. And then to get me around people that, you know, were also good at what they did, like you, like, you know, like Tony, like, you know, hitting guys, pitching, throwing guys, whatever, whoever I needed to be around to help me improve at my craft, I was able to receive that. I know that your program, I mean, you don't succeed this long in what you do without having a good formula, without having a good roadmap. What are the things that haven't changed that you guys continue to do to provide those?
I think the biggest thing, first of all, is that these guys need to know a couple things. First, the first thing they need to know is that you care about them. Mm-hmm. That's number one. You can't BS a kid. They know. And, you know, if you have a real passion to help these guys and they know that you care, they're going to do anything. We've got to give them the ingredients to be successful. Our biggest thing, not just training them, but just doing as much as we can from above the shoulders, working mentally, saying, okay, if you want to get to here, here's what you need to do, and here's the roadmap. You got to give them the roadmap, and they've got to believe in you. A great example, you talked about COVID. We got shut out. I mean, Northern California was ugly. We went out. Tony did a great job. We went out to Mifflin, way out in the Central Valley, and rip it. We have to get out there early because we had to get over the Altamont Pass or it'd be backed up. So we get out there, and we would work out 4 days a week, 4 hours a day. We had a couple of our best kids that really blossomed from that. A great example was Henry Bolte. Nobody even knew who Henry is. He became a second round guy. He was the A's minor league player of the year at AAA, now at 21 years old. The other one was Robbie Snelling, who'll probably be both in the big leagues next year. What we told those guys was, you're still, and this was in June, you're still going to Zoom for a school, and, you know, to do your Zoom for 2 or 3 hours. Now here's what you do. You eat twice as much. You sleep twice as much. You train twice as much. They all bought into it. We gave them workout programs. 90% of them absolutely did it for 2 or 3 months. We didn't play any games. We just trained. Literally, with the first game we played, we went to Louisiana. This guy said, oh yeah, we're 38-2. I said, well, that's great. It's our first game, you know, but they all gained 15 pounds of muscle. They all got better with that. Now, the skill level in games, we had to catch up with that because we didn't play. Didn't matter. The roadmap was set because of that. And so it really worked out well. And we got more out of COVID because the guys bought into it. And from there, we kind of did a lot of the same thing. We love to get out. We have a two fields out in Lathrop, Champion Field Islander. We have pretty much full run of that, especially over the weekends in the fall. There's a lot of work to be done. And, you know, and we tell those guys, hey, you know what? You're there on Sundays because we do allow them to do other things. But here's what we expect on those Sundays. It's those guys showing us what they've done Monday through Saturday. That's what practice is for. Practice is to show us what you've been working on. You will give them some homework assignments. Say, you know, here's what you need to do. Here's some shadow drills. Here's some mirror drills, that type of thing. And that's how these guys get better. It's what they're doing without it. Not what they're doing, by the way, on social media. Should we talk about social media?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because that's amazing. We got some guys that, okay, they're going to show us every time they sprint, every time they're in the gym, everything else. I want the silent assassins. I don't want guys who show us that. I want to see guys who have been training like crazy and show us in games. Mm-hmm. I'm really, here's what I'm really tired of. Do not thank the organization that blindly invited you. This wasn't like a real invite. Anybody can go to this showcase. You just spent $700 plus hundreds more if you had to travel, and you're thanking that organization to let you come out. They should be on their hands and knees thanking you. That's where things have changed. You're not quite old enough to remember what we used to call silly season. Silly season in golf was November, December, January, way back. They didn't have tournaments. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Gary Player, they play skins games. They did all these things with women's PGA, the LPGA, and everything else. Well, that's what late July and August is now, silly season. They get invited to all these things all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like four or five organizations. And, you know, there's social media, there's everything else. It's a bunch of individual stuff. Last time I looked, I think college coaches and pro scouts are going to get a heck of a lot more watching them play in games instead of individual stuff. I mean, you see these guys and individuals, oh, he got this metric, he got that metric. Well, between you and I, we both know it can't play in games. It doesn't matter. If you can't produce under pressure situations, because going out and taking BP is not pressure, you can't play. And I think we need to get to better quality games instead of going out to showcase an individual ability. Last time I looked, 93 and it's ball four is ball four.
Recruiters want to see you be effective during high level competition, right?
Right. Who can win?
I mean, I think there's too many, and I'm just gonna, you know, I'll be frank. I think there's too many major league organizations that have, I'm sure they're getting better at it, but that have invested a lot of money into 5 o'clock hitters and didn't get much out of it, right? Guys that, you know, during BP put on a show, right, and then can never really get over that hump in the game. And, you know, a base hit at, you know, 85, 90 mile an hour exit velo is a lot more effective than a guy that, you know, has the capability to, you know, put it out of the park at 105 plus during batting practice but never makes contact in the game. And there's been a ton of those kids. Obviously, you've seen it, right? You've seen it more than I have.
All the time.
But focusing on the wrong stuff. I mean, we have those guys in our program focusing on the wrong stuff. One of my pet peeves, will lose a game, right? And then a guy will highlight his 3-for-4 day with a double on social media. And that's one of my pet peeves, because I think from like the old, I mean, I hate to put myself in the category of the old school way of thinking, but here I am doing that. But the old school way of, I believe, was it, things have to be like, success has to be.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Through the team.
That's team. That's team.
Like everything
all day long,
right? Through the team, and
you,
so
you have to take pride. Right. You have to take pride. Go 0-for-3 with a sacrifice fly that gets it done, over a 3-for-4, you beat somebody 10-2. Mm-hmm. Our thought process, unfortunately, is skewed. I don't care if you hit two bombs in a meaningless game. I want to see the guy hit the ball, move guys over with men on second, third, hit the ball with two strikes with no outs to the second baseman. Score a run, get him over to third. That guy scores. That's two RBIs. For me, more valuable. All mm-hmm. this just grip it and rip it, and you roll over into a double play does no good. And right. let's hope college coaches and pro scouts, because they're different than they used to be. They're note takers. They're video people. Let's hope that changes. There's old school guys who get it. They've got mm-hmm. feel. They've watched. They can have comps. I think, again, getting to COVID. COVID was miserable. And I think one of the biggest challenges with COVID, we started relying on video. We started relying, and without playing, we started relying on just some scrimmage stuff because we weren't allowed to do things. And mm-hmm. I think we got lazy as coaches at our level, college coaches, and even pro scouts. Mm-hmm. They started looking at those things, and instead of, hey, who can play the game? Pete Rose never would have made it.
Right.
That's one of my gripes.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, and so, like, as a person, obviously you lead your organization, but as a person who is an advocate for your players, right? You communicate, and this is the difference between one of these other teams that pop up and have no understanding on what next level baseball is really about. But that's the difference between a program like yours and a program like theirs. They have to go to an event, showcase their kid. Hopefully that kid plays well, right? Otherwise, if he doesn't, right, there's no advocacy for that kid. And so then they have to go chase another event. A program like yours, right, you could take a kid, put him in that same event. Let's say he doesn't play well, but you know the type of kid and type of competitor he is. You don't necessarily have to go chase more events. You can just advocate for that player because that's the success that you've had in what you know about the game and what next level baseball is really about. And to not to toot your guys' horn too much, but there's not many programs like yours and what you do. And because there is that old school way of thinking of like, hey, it's for the team, it's for the team, it's for the team. There's not one college coach in this country that doesn't want to win games. They get paid to win games, right? So if you're going to send them a winner or a difference maker, right, that may not always light up the radar gun or may not light up the track man, but they can help you win games, you advocate for that. That is the value of being a part of a program like yours, right?
100%. If Tony, if Anthony Gonzalez, if Dan Bagheron, if I say something, they're going to believe it. They're going to understand. Okay, they've seen these guys. They know what it looks like to be successful because of a track record. You mm-hmm. have to have a track record. You can't lie. Now, mm-hmm. conversely, I'm going to go on a limb for guys that I know better than they do, because we know they can help. That happens all the time. Tony and I say that we have a bunch of get out of free cards. Because we've done that. You know, a guy like Steve Detweiler, who runs our NorCal Black, and he runs a great program in North Bay Area. Well, there's a guy who was the MVP of the World Series in college for Fresno State when they won. How many times is Fresno State going to win the College World Series? This guy did not get a scholarship until 2 weeks before his freshman year started at Fresno State. We can go on and on. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. So, you know what we say? I told you so.
Right.
But we will go to bat. Now, we're not going to lie, because the first time you lie, you lose your credibility, right? You mm-hmm. If you say something, John says something, any of the guys that we know, they say something, they can go to bat with it. There are guys that are liars, trying to make reputations. They ruin it for everybody else. And luckily, we do a good job with that part of it. We're honest, and we're going to tell them the truth. And we're also going to tell them, you're making a mistake. You need to take that guy. Oh, by the way, you took one of our guys. You didn't ask us about him. That guy's not a good team guy. He's not going to fit, because we have to be honest.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, and that's good for the parents to hear, right? Because they think, oh, we bought a CBA jersey. Like, our kids are going to go to college. That's not a guarantee for you, right? We have to be, I think there's got to be a perspective on our end. Like, hey, we're also working for the colleges. We want them to be successful, and we want to send our kid to a place where they're going to be successful as well. And if it's not a great fit for both, it does not work, right? It's a bad idea to send that kid to that program. So just trying to educate parents here, especially from a younger, like for the middle school age kid, those parents, that we are an advocate for them if they meet the criteria that we require of them. Hey, if we say you got, like you say, you guys practice Sunday and then you send them out stuff to do Monday through Saturday, they got to come back to Sunday and show you what they've done. Well, they have to show that improvement, right? If you send them a workout program to do, right, and they don't do it and they come back and they're the same kid that they were the week before, it's really hard to advocate for that kid. Yeah, you'll keep them around and you'll hope that they, you know, they flip a switch and things get better. But a lot of times it doesn't work out for them because they haven't flipped that switch. So it's hard to advocate for the kid that doesn't do what you ask them to do, right? So how many of those
do you have? No doubt. Well, I'll tell you what. We I would tell you that, and we talk about one incremental 1% progress each day. Kaizen, Chris Kempster, who's a lot smarter than I'll ever be, he's the one that kind of started that. And it's just 1% each day. Let's just get a little bit better. I think we attract guys, we call them OKGs, our kind of guys. That's who we attract. And those are the guys that we want. There's two kinds of baseball players, unfortunately, these days. The first one, there, and I think this is something that really divides us and it changes. But there's a group, there's a faction of guys who are in love with the idea of being a baseball player. They like going to tournaments. They like the rankings. They like the notoriety and all that stuff. Second guy, and I think this is who you are. They're in love with the idea of playing baseball. They want to be all about that. They want to play the game hard. They want to be great teammates. They want to do whatever it is. And it seems like the latter, those kind of kids gravitate towards our program. The first group gravitates towards others. That's who we want.
So you just filter them out before they get there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if they say, well, especially if they're juniors, mm-hmm. you know, we want to come there because we know you guys get a lot of looks. Mm-hmm. As soon as they say that, we usually tell them, and Tony's great at this, I don't think our program fits. I don't think our priorities are the same. We're probably not a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we want. We want them to be part of a legacy. Hardest worker, probably one of the hardest we've ever had for sure, Jimmy Rollins, played the mm-hmm. mid-90s for us, 94, 95. Work ethic was off the charts. He would be early driving for an hour for a practice. Mm-hmm. All these guys, Nady, all these guys work their tails off. That's the other part. They worked harder than all these kids. These kids, you know, like for instance, you guys, you do well, really well. One of the absolute top, you know, top echelon for sure in the country. Well, just because you were a CBA and just because you were a NorCal doesn't mean that you're part of what they've done yet. We want these guys to be part of our legacy. You guys want the same thing. Just because you wear that uniform doesn't make it. Here's what you need to do. These guys worked hard doing this, this, and this. If you emulate what their work ethic is, now you have a chance. But just because you wear that jersey doesn't mean you're going to get there. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I love that you like highlighted Jimmy Rollins, obviously long time, you know, successful big leaguer, World Series champion, right? That didn't happen by accident. Driving an hour to go to practice. And I mean, and I hate to say it, we might have in our program, we have the players that they'll make an excuse not to drive 20 minutes to practice.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's unfortunate. We haven't got to the point where we could filter those guys out yet. And I think that's something that we're still, obviously our program's a lot younger than yours. And that's something I believe we're evolving to. So, you know, doing things like this, creating a podcast to where parents can hear the tough love, right, coming from us, right?
Yep. Like,
but what is that, hopefully that there's actually a switch in how players and parents both think, right? Because obviously, you know, majority of our families are, you know, middle class, and, you know, parents work hard and they have the 9 to 5. And then after 5 o'clock, a lot of them just want to go home and crack open a beer and watch a game, right? Versus, hey, now I got to go take my kid to practice, or I got to take him to training. And I believe that the success is going to be found in the extra work that you do outside of what your program and your organization provides you. Yes, we try to give as much as we can. And I know you guys do too. But it ultimately falls back on your discipline to, like you said, incrementally get 1% better on a daily basis. And sometimes that is maybe just having an active rest day and then, you know, mentally preparing for what's coming the next day. But there needs to be purpose behind that. Not just, hey, I'm going to be lazy and play video games and not do shit today. Excuse my language, but
that wasn't the worst thing I've ever heard from anybody. But you've got to separate yourself. If you want to be great, another good buddy of mine always said, good is the enemy of great. If you're good, you're going to tell everybody. And if you're great, everybody's going to tell you. It's those things are so crucial that the best guys, let me say this, the best guys in any endeavor, whether it's business, sports, anything else, they don't act like it. I know a couple billionaires. I'm certainly not in their crowd, but you wouldn't even know. All their work is done in the dark. They are absolutely busting their butt. The best guys are not talking about it. They're getting it done. You can give them a roadmap, but it's up to them. Luckily, a good amount of our guys, they love that. They understand it. We'll talk about the Jimmy Rollinses. We'll talk about the Dontrell Willis's. You know who a crazy guy was? Dustin Pedroia.
Yeah.
That guy's work ethic. What a red ass. If Dustin Pedroia was 6'2", he might not have been good. Troy Tulowitzki, when he played with us, he was good. He was a late bloomer, kept working. That man is one of the most impressive people I've ever met in my life. He commands a room. If he wants to be a skipper in the big leagues, he can do it. If he wants to just be a head coach or just still be the hitting coach for Texas, that guy is impressive. And his work ethic, what he got from his family, everything else, second to none. Same thing with a lot of our other guys. Brandon Crawford. Brandon was a very good athlete. He wasn't amazing. He was a second string shortstop and started at second base for us for freshman and sophomore. And then he took over as a junior. And they always said, well, that's just because you weren't very smart. You should have had him there in the first place. Probably right. They probably were right. But the work ethic that those guys had, work ethic Robbie Snelling had. There's a guy, 96 on his 93rd pitch this year. His team, no question in my mind, there's no coincidence. His team was AAA champs this year. He was AAA pitcher of the year. There's a reason, because guys like that make everybody else around them better. The work ethic is off the charts. You've seen it. You've had amazing guys. Did Freddie play for your dad or CBA or both?
Freeman?
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know who he played. He played scout ball for my dad.
Yes, he did. I know there was a connection. Yeah.
I don't think he played. He didn't play with CBA or ABD, but he played scout ball with my dad. Yeah.
Yeah. And those are the guys that they're just special. They want to, you know, our guys, we talk about our history. We've had 67 big leaguers, guys that are full time. We talk about that. We talk about our 2005 class where we had 6 MLB players, 3 of them all stars. They lived less than 2 hours away. The reason why they were special was not just because they were talented, but their work ethic. And if you want to be special, you want to be like them, be part of that legacy, you've got to put in the same hours. And because of our history and the amount of time, and CBA is no different at this point. You guys are amazing. You could talk about all the guys that got to there, but you can also talk about what it took for them to get there. And it's not just ability. It's that work ethic that was designed by you guys. And again, I also think that some guys, you're wired who you are. Mm-hmm. Some guys are going to get better because they have a better mind. Some guys aren't going to quite get it done, especially in big games, just because they're wired like that. That's just the way they are. How many guys do you know that are great when it's 8-2 and they hit a couple bombs, but it's a 3-2 game, you don't want them up?
Yeah.
So those are separators. It's our job to get the most we can. Tony says some great things. He says, if you're 80% that day, physically, whatever else, get 100% out of that 80%. Whatever you can do. Pitchers, how many guys out of 10 starts? You might get three where all three things are working. You might get three more, four more, where you've got two things, but it's not great. And then three times, four times, you got nothing. When you have nothing or just something, those are the days that you find out how good you are.
Right. And that's the character aspect, right? And how important it is to believe in yourself and to, you know, bring your best foot forward. You know, I just like you, I always, you know, expect players to do what they can, right? Regardless of ailment or, you know, minor injury or any of these things that I think that, you know, it's easy to make an excuse for why you don't perform even before the performance, right? Even before you actually have to go out there and
that's right.
You know, so it's easy to say, hey, I'm not at my best today. And whether you vocalize that or you internalize that, you know, it's easy to just say, hey, my hamstring's hurting, you know, I'm not gonna move very well. So if I don't have a great day, you know, it's okay because I'm injured, right? And I think that, you know, the 1% or 10% of the competitors that are out there that don't care about ailment, that don't care that they don't feeling at their best, don't care that they have a minor injury, that they still compete in spite of that stuff, those are the guys that succeed day in and day out, regardless of what these external factors are, because that's all they are, right? They're just external factors that at the end of the day, shouldn't impact you too much on, you know, your ability to perform if you're able to overcome just the way you think about those things. So
great book called Relentless. You ever read Relentless?
A Tim Grover.
Great book by Tim Grover.
Yep.
Good book. Got it. I knew you would.
Good book.
He talked about cleaners, guys like Michael Jordan who separate themselves. It's okay to be closers, but they're the cleaners, like the Michael Jordans. And Grover talks about that, how they're special. You were not the biggest guy in the world, but you're getting 100% of whatever you had. And that's what made you great at when you played. And I think that's the separator. What can you do to get the most out of what you got that day? And then how do you build on it?
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Those are the things that are not taught at an early level. At an early level, they're chasing $8 plastic trophies. And oh, by the way, we were the blankety blank tournament MVP all tournament. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about that stuff. They'll care about the effort you put in when you weren't feeling great to help your team. The ball that was inside that you rolled, instead of backing away, you rolled it and you got an RBI with a 1-2 count. on a breaking ball in. Those are the things that we'll always remember. Those are the things that separate, that make you great.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And yeah, that was a good book. I mean, that's those the key separators from the average athlete to the Jordans, the Kobe's, the Brady's, right? It's ultimately just falls back on like on your mindset and what you really expect from yourself. But yeah, I'm glad you actually highlighted that. That's a good book. Just before, because we're hitting that hour mark and
yeah, we're good.
Yeah, just trying to get, but a couple other things real quick.
Sure.
Top, your favorite five players you've ever coached.
Oh.
Not including me.
Well, okay. So here's what I would tell you. I joke that I've got, I always say that guy's one of my three favorite players, but I've got 10 favorite players.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't always the best player, but sometimes they are. Jimmy Rollins was a pleasure. Smartest young man I've ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. Right now, the temporary Robbie Snelling. We've had him since seventh grade. He's knocking on the door. He's just an amazing guy. I had him for 5.5 years. He's wired differently.
Mm-hmm.
Will Bartlett might be my favorite player. Will Bartlett was 16 going on 30. Amazing leader. You know, we had a situation one year. Actually, we won that. Oh, I don't know what it was. The 17 perfect game World Series. We played against CBA. They're the number one team in the country that year. They ended up number one. We beat them on the field. Didn't matter. You guys had a great amount of tournament victories there. But we have three different kinds of leaders, and I'll give you the examples. So one of them was a leader by example. And that was Brock. Brock played at Stanford, and just an amazing guy. Walked around, 6'2", 210, just ripped. And that boy could play center field like nobody's business. And then we had another guy that was kind of a leader by example, and he'd take guys off to the side and he'd work with them and do a great job. And so that was another leader. And then we had Will Bartlett. Will Bartlett, half the time I give him the lineup card and say, fill it out. He'd give a pregame, he'd give a postgame. We won that World Series, and he looked over to me and I said, we're not changing a thing. You're the leader of this team. And I'll never forget it. And here's the other cool thing about Will. He's my favorite. With Will, he went to IMG.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved it because it was all baseball. That's all he wanted to do. And he's like a ninth round pick, and he signed. Comes back after his junior year, Harris passes. Well, we had a little rule. You had shorter hair, you didn't have beards or anything else. Harris passes shoulders. He comes back and says, hey, what do you think? I said, I know your heart. I know your mind. I don't care what you look like. You're a winner, and you're a team guy, and I don't care. What you probably did was help the next few guys coming up the next few years, because none of that matters. None of that matters. It's what's in your heart and it's what's in your brain. But we've had some just tremendous people. We're very fortunate. Again, 25 second round or second generation guys. I would tell you, when I get a call from a guy 20 years ago, do you remember me? Well, of course we remember. Those relationships, and you're finding this out, I'm sure now, 10 times more important than what happened when they were playing. Couldn't care less. Became a great dad, became a great husband, became a great baseball player, became a great policeman. One of the greatest things that I ever had was Joey Parigi. Joey Monterey.
Oh, yeah. I remember Joe.
I remember. I know you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a lefty, typical lefty. Mm-hmm. I got to write his recommendation letter for Monterey for the policeman. Also he got on to SWAT after that. The other day he sent me pictures of their 8-month-old. That's everything. Uh-huh. All those things are everything. The longer we do this, again, we've always wanted to win. Love it. The priorities are those relationships, how we affected them. And obviously, we must have done something right because he's still in our lives. And that's such a big thing, Joe. That's everything now for me, for Tony. Baseball is a tool. It's a life lesson tool. We picked a great way to give back, and that's baseball.
Yeah, I agree. It's the best sport, I believe, that helps you to learn how to deal with failure, right? As you know.
Yep.
So, and that's what I think it creates tough people, right? That's why I love the sport.
No doubt.
60 at this, you are tough. You are tough. You get to whatever collegiate rank, you are a tough person, you know? So.
And even talk about adversity, but more so in baseball, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but more than football and basketball, the camaraderie, the journey. You look at a guy, here I am, a Bay Area guy, everybody would say, oh, Madison Bumgarner or whatever. My favorite guy is Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. Clayton Kershaw is an absolute winner, but what did he talk about? He didn't talk about, oh, that World Series, everything else. He's going to miss being with his boys. That's what he's going to miss. When Jeter, and who was the closer? Loved him.
Mariano Rivera.
Rivera. Mm-hmm. I mean, I cried. I cried when those guys came off, or were crying when they pulled them off. It meant so much to them. In no other sport can you replicate those relationships that you have from baseball, and they are lifelong. That 2005 group I'm talking about, a lot of those guys are best friends. They talk every week. That's 20 years later.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing about baseball. And you've been doing this now for a while, and I'm sure that's you're thinking the same thing.
Well, yeah, because I was, you know, I came up during that era, year prior to that 2005 group. You know, I still talk to teammates from that time, maybe not on a weekly basis, but I still talk to my teammates, because that's, you know, they were like-minded. They are like-minded still. So, you know, it's easy to relate to people that grew up doing the same thing you did at the level you wanted to do it at. Right. So that's complete.
Yeah.
And then when you go out and try to relate to people who haven't, you know, been, you know, who aren't, you know, necessarily high achievers, or don't have that or that want to be better or be the best, right? It's really hard to relate to those people, but not to say that you can't, but it's not those people, not the people you necessarily want in your circle. So
100%. They always say, look at your circle of five friends, and that's who you are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I believe that it's who you are. You're going to affect them. They're going to affect you. So find a great, and we did that also when we had that COVID time down, we put together circles of five, and that was those are your boys. And that's your guys you can talk to, because that was a lonely time and a depressing time. And so we tried to help out with the mental part of it, because it's the whole thing. That's rough. It's rough. And as men or young men turning guys into men, that's something we don't look at enough. I mean, women are much better with emotions. Men, we try and be tough. We've always been told that that's dangerous. And we have to make sure we have to check the famous running back for the Cal, Marshawn Lynch. Check on your mentals. Check on your mentals. But it's really true. So those are things that, you know, we're not, Joe, we're not just coaches. We're teachers. We're counselors. We're coaches. We're mentors. We're uncles. All the above. And we have such an impact on these kids. We have to use that judiciously, because we can impact them positive or negative, but we always have to remember to do our best job being a positive, because we absolutely impact these guys. And they're going to tell us 20 years, do you remember when you told us this? Not, do you remember when we won a game? It's always the journey. Right. It's always the journey.
Yeah. And we're pretty lucky, because we can help set that trajectory right early. So we can help.
Yep.
We can affect that type of trajectory for them. So last question.
Yes, sir.
Club baseball, travel baseball, bad connotation. We'll use the term club baseball. Where do you see this going?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I would tell you. The one thing I would tell you is that your dad had by far always the best name ever for a program, ABD, but people just say ABD, Amateur Baseball Development. That was it. He set the standard, in my opinion, for the country.
Right.
And I always try and I can't use the whole thing because that's plagiarism. But what he did, and that's what we're missing. And going to where we're seeing it now, we got to get away from a bunch of individual showcase stuff. We got to make sure our parents understand that's not helping you. It's all only doing is helping your ego. It's never going to get you anywhere. You got to start training more. You got to start listening to the right people who have the experience so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's our job to tell these guys, we're going to save you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars by telling you no 90% of the time to not go to a camp. Let me tell you what pisses me off. They invite a senior to a camp when they know they're not taking any more seniors.
Right.
That pisses me off. That I've got a real problem with that. And I'm not shy telling them. I'm not shy telling them how they treat some kids. They've got to care also. And we have to be our guy's more biggest advocate. We can't be just friends. And you and I, Tony, all of us, we have good friends for college coaches. But they come in second to our players. That is our influence. We have to be the best advocate we can for our guys. And that's a big thing for me.
Right. And I couldn't agree more. So where do you see in 5 years, this industry that we're in, where do you see it heading in 5, 10 years? Like what is the next step or the next few steps in the evolution of what we're doing?
It changes so much exponentially. I don't know. Here's what I hope. I hope like the stock market, we have a correction. Here's what I would like to see. I'm not sure what we're going to see. I think it's going to get uglier, but what I'd like to see are more local leagues, more work. I love the video stuff. Everybody wants to get video, get on TrackMan, get on Synergy, all the above. Do that. Have leagues and do more of that. But work on training. Work on the mental part. Work on the physical part. Work on those things more than going across the country 4 times to say, hey, here we are. Look at our cool uniforms. Let's go chase the plastic trophy. Is it going to happen? I don't know. I hope we get away from the individual stuff and start really reinforcing the team stuff, because that's going to help everybody develop. It's going to help college and pro guys watch, because those are real games. And I think there are more life lessons being a great teammate than going out and being a great exit velocity guy.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm hoping and praying for. I've got 3 to 4 more years, and then I'm going to Arizona and I'm going to coach a little league. And then what I'm going to do, Joe, is I'm going to go to Scottsdale Stadium and I'm going to help people get to their seats. And I'm just going to just love that. That's my plan. How's that for an exit plan?
I'm going to join you.
My exit. Yeah. People say, you know, hey, what are you going to do? And everybody has an exit plan. In reality, with this baseball stuff, I'm a lifer. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm a dinosaur. You know that. My exit plan from baseball is I die. What else am I going to do? we keep going. And however I can help and make an impact, because in my life, I think I was here to give back and help.
Right.
And I love doing that. I get more out of that than the giving stuff. I love to give much more than receive. It's just like Christmas. It's better to give than receive.
Well, what I love about you is you have the same passion now that you did when I was playing for your guys' program. You're the same guy now that you were then. And I think that players, parents, families, they're all very, very fortunate to have you as somebody to help them get to where they want to get to. So that is something that I don't think that type of passion doesn't live inside of everybody. So I could really appreciate that.
So. Well, thank you. It's been a big part of my life. I love doing what I do. And how fortunate are we to help young men develop into being great people? You'll be a person a lot longer than a baseball player. Mm-hmm. Very few guys die in their cleats, except for Don Zimmer, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's something, I think we are so lucky to be doing what we do.
Mm-hmm. Well,
hey, listen, thank you. I think you run a great podcast.
Great just questions. Just by shooting the shit.
Yes.
Having a normal conversation.
Well, it's all real stuff. Yeah. And you know what, Joe, one of the great things for me is watching how you've grown up and developed into be a great man. That's a big thing. I've known you since you're about 13, 14 years old, and getting to see you grow up to give back and impact. And, you've had great people in your life, but just to do all the things you're doing, man, it makes me feel great.
I appreciate that. And you definitely, influenced a lot of who I am, the times I was able to be around you and your program, Tony. Tony's been around doing this a long time too, huh?
Tony's been here since 95. This is 31st year.
Oh man.
So he might look like he's 32 years old, but
he's aging 50. Backwards. He's aging backwards.
Right? Right. Like what was that? Benjamin Button or
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so, on the other hand, getting old.
You guys have affected countless lives. Super, super grateful to be one of them. And just thankful that you're able to take the time with me today. And would love to do this more often. I mean, I don't know how often, but often enough to get into some good topics and see what
I'll jump on anytime you want. I think I'd like to get into the 10 to 14, 10 to 15 year old thought process next time on how we've got to change that, because that's when guys are getting hurt. They're playing six games on a weekend, and their guys will catch a game or two and then go throw. And if there's no pitch count, they might throw a 3-day weekend, 80 on Friday and 80 on Sunday. That's where the damage is being done, in my opinion.
Well, we can easily do a part two, and then
we will do a part two,
and then give a cliffhanger to whoever the listenership is. Give a cliffhanger so they're waiting for the next episode like we used to do back before Netflix
let's go. Let's get it. I'd love to do it. Again, we are passionate, both of us. And I think that's a used and abused age. And I think we need to talk about that.
Perfect. Okay.
Great.
All right, Rob.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I appreciate the time.
Yep.
I feel bad that you're in Arizona all this time for all these weeks, for all these events that you're in. But
my second home. I love it.
I know you do. I know you do. All right, Rob. Yeah. Well, you have a great day. I'll let you know when this gets published and gets put out there, and then I'll direct it your way. So
thank you, Joe. Have a great day.
You too. Enjoy. Have a good day. Bye.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.